My name is Tanvi Rana, and I'm a fourth-year medical student at Sydney Kimmel Medical College, and I'm working with the Department of Otolaryngology at Thomas Jefferson University on this research study. This presentation is titled Post-Operative Opioid Prescribing Practices in Otolaryngology, Evidence-Based Guideline Outcomes. In this presentation, we report the results of phase two of our multiphasic study. Starting off, otolaryngology is one of the highest opioid prescribing surgical subspecialties. Unfortunately, excess opioids in the postoperative setting may be diverted, which can exacerbate the opioid crisis. The purpose of our study was to develop and evaluate evidence-based postoperative pain management guidelines. In phase one, we found that greater than 50% of postoperative opioids prescribed at our institution after four head and neck procedures went unused. Using patient surveys and existing literature, we developed and instituted multimodal evidence-based pain management guidelines for these procedures. In phase two, we evaluate the effect of these guidelines on the quantity of unused opioids at our institution, as well as patient satisfaction. The methods of this study were the same as for phase one, meaning that it was a prospective survey study conducted at a single large academic hospital studying sialendoscopy, parotidectomy, parathyroid and thyroidectomy, and transoral robotic surgery. We included adult patients from May 2019 to May 2020, and patients were excluded if they had a chronic opioid use disorder or were hospitalized for greater than 7 days. Looking at the results of our study, there was no significant difference in pain trends for procedures between phase one and phase two. Importantly, though, prescribing guidelines did lead to a substantial reduction in the average prescribed morphine milligram equivalents, or MME, per patient. For sialendoscopy, this reduction was 48%. The reduction was 63% for parotidectomy. For parathyroid and thyroidectomy, there was a 60% reduction. And for TORS, there was a 42% reduction. Parotidectomy, parathyroid and thyroidectomy, as well as TORS procedures, were the only three that had a significant difference in phase one and phase two. However, the difference was not significant in sialendoscopy, but it was substantial. Additionally, it is notable that the proportion of unused MME per patient did not significantly change after guidelines were implemented for any of the four procedures that we studied. Additionally, there was no significant difference in patient satisfaction. However, there was a small yet significant increase in dissatisfaction. Moving on to discussion, there's a phenomenon described in the literature by Howard et al., stating that patients will use a set percentage of their opioid prescription regardless of the total number of pills prescribed. In phase two, our data supports this phenomenon because although we significantly reduced the number of prescribed opioids, the proportion of unused pills was not significantly different. Additionally, our data also supports the continued use of guidelines since satisfaction rates were overall unchanged. In conclusion, we suggest that providers continue to follow this guideline as well as focus on educating patients on the importance of scheduled non-opioid analgesia while reserving opioids for breakthrough pain.